David Disseldorp from Zamba team and Zuse Linux will be talking about Make It Snappery snapshots with Zamba and the Snapper.
I hope you can hear me. Sorry about the delay again. So I'm here just to talk about Snapper and integration with Zamba to support remote snapshots. So I'll just start off with a basic introduction of what is Snapper. So it's a snapshot management utility for Linux. Currently it only supports, or at the back end it supports ButterFS for ext4 with LVM snapshots. Creation can be driven either through a timeline, so automated once per hour snapshots, manually triggered by an administrator, or there's also the option of application triggered snapshots. So we have tools in SUSE, OpenSUSE for system management. So any configuration changes, we take a snapshot prior to the change. The user or administrator is then able to roll back should something be wrong with the new configuration. Automated cleanup of snapshots. Users can also store metadata alongside the snapshot, so descriptions or key value pairs. And there's also the ability to compare snapshots. So with Snapper, you can do a diff on what is in the current or the current state on the file system versus what is in a snapshot. And then, of course, revert back to a previous version from those snapshots. New to Snapper is a dbus interface, which basically splits it into a client-server architecture. So the main reason for doing this is to allow for non-root users to create snapshots. So Snapper performs authorization, authentication, or uses dbus to provide that. So I'll just run through now a quick demo of Snapper running locally on my server. Okay, so I just have here, I hope that's still visible. Yeah. So I just have a ButterFS subvolume called Samba FSRVP, and this maps directly to a Snapper configuration. So you see we have a Snapper configuration called roots, which is managing this subvolume. And what we can do now is just create a test file. So just add some test data there. And then what we'll do is create a snapshot of that test data. So it's just a simple Snapper create. And we have an instantaneous... Sorry? Oh, sorry. So I've just created a snapshot. So we can see there we have snapshot number one, which was just taken. And then there's this special entry zero, which corresponds to the current file system state. Hopefully the description isn't off screen there. So I'll just modify again this file. And then what we'll do is do a diff. And we can see basically that this after snap entry has been added after the snapshot itself. So that's the very brief Snapper introduction. So I'll now move on to how we can utilize Snapper with regard to Samba integration. So there's two main points here, which are the first being previous versions in Windows Explorer, and then also the FSRVP snapshot management protocol, which is new with Windows Server 2K12. So on the left of the screen, hopefully not completely cut out, we have a previous versions window. And this is populated on SIFS shares via a enumerate snapshots ioctl. The server then basically responds with a list of GMT tokens for specific snapshots. And the SIFS client can then access those snapshots using a GMT token in the path, or with SMB2, there's a time warp structure. So the file share shadow copies protocol, FSRVP, is, as I mentioned, new with Windows Server 2012. And it provides the ability for remote SMB clients to issue or manipulate and manage snapshots on a remote server. So clients are able to determine whether a certain SMB share can be snapshotted. It can request the creation of a snapshot, expose that snapshot as a new share, and then, of course, clean up after itself. So these, or the protocol travels over DCE RPC, and it's, or the server listens on the FSSH and RPC named pipe. So with Windows, it integrates into the VSS ecosystem, which Windows then offers application consistent backups. So basically, VSS aware applications are notified prior to snapshot. The applications can then flush their buffers and ensure a consistent state on disk prior to the snapshot being taken. That's then used as a backup restore point, basically. With Windows Server 2012, there's two, or at least that I'm aware of, two FSRVP clients. So there's diskshadow.exe, which I'll be showing today, which is just a command line utility, and then also System Center DPM. So onto the Samba implementation, which is what I've been working on recently. So we fork a FSSD process on startup, and that basically handles all FSRVP traffic on the name pipe. Snapshot requests are propagated through to the Samba VFS layer. So I'll go on to what VFS modules accept those requests a bit later. But basically, we propagate the creation, deletion, and checking whether a path supports snapshots all through to the VFS. And shadow copy shares are basically, so when the client requests that a snapshot be exposed as a new share, we use lib SMB clients to expose it via Samba's registry, basically. So we have currently three VFS modules which support these shadow copy requests, or basically fill the hooks in the VFS to perform snapshots. So VFS Snapper, which I'll be demonstrating today, which connects via Dbus to the Snapper daemon, and then issues the requests, over Dbus. There's a VFS Shell Snap module, which I've just worked on recently for testing. And then finally, the VFS ButterFS module, which is was basically just a proof of concept and issues the raw ButterFS ioctals for snapshots. So onto a server demo, where I have, first off, any questions this time? Otherwise, I'll just move on to the demo. So as mentioned, I'll just run the disk shadow. Command line utility. And so we can see we have this Samba FSRVP share, which we were manipulating locally on the server before. So we have our Linux test file, which, as you recall, we created a snapshot of. So we can see our snapshot in the previous versions window there. We can open the snapshot. You can see there's the data at the time of the snapshot. And of course, minus the encoding differences. There's the data after the snapshot. So I'll just create again some Windows test data. So as you saw, that's the SAM FSRVP share. So what I'll do is just add volume. So when we add, or at the command line, when we add the volume to, or the client side shadow copy set, basically the FSRVP client issues a check to see whether the server for that share supports shadow copies. So that's passed and it's successfully added it to the set. And then if we issue a create, the client now prepares the state on the server for creating the shadow copy. So basically it creates a shadow copy set on the remote server, adds that path to the shadow copy set, and then issues a commit. And at the time we get the commit, basically we propagate the request through to the VFS.
So this is the corresponding action to this snapper create something earlier, but just over the Windows and Samba through to the...
So the initial check to see whether it supports shadow copies, the share, we actually propagate through, or we look for a snapper config for that, the path that it gives us, and basically that says, or using that we determine whether it's snapshottable or not. So this has created a new snapshot now. So on the commit it propagates the creation through to the VFS, which we send to snapper. Sure, I'll get to that.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. So we basically the FSRVP server responds saying, okay, we've created a snapshot. It's exposed with this share path, basically, or as a new share. It also tells us, okay, here's the base volume for the snapshot. The server that's exposing the snapshot, all sorts of information, the GUIDs as identifiers. So we can see in our share listing we have this new Samba FSRVP GUID share, which is our exposed shadow copy. So that has, actually I haven't changed the file yet, so I'll just change that on the base share. So changing that, we can still see, obviously, our snapshot stays consistent. And then, as Michael was just requesting, we can see in the snapshot listing on our Samba server, we have, that's probably not visible, but we have basically in the description an entry saying snapshot created by Samba. We can see which user issued the creation. Is that visible? Yeah, so at the moment it's, or you'll notice it's the machine account. So in creating the snapshot, the Windows, this shadow client initially connects and authenticates using the machine account to check whether it supports shadow copy requests, and then connects or re-authenticates using the logged in user, so the administrator account. And there's currently a bug in Dbus or Snapper authentication, basically, where, because basically we change or set our UID from the machine account to the authenticated user as the request comes in. And on changing that UID and establishing a new Dbus connection, the snapper on the other side doesn't pick up the UID change. So that's a bug that needs to be fixed at this stage. So also, I'll just can also just do a diff as well. So actually, what number was it? 2, I guess. So again, minus the encoding differences, we have the diff of our snapshot versus the current state. And also, this snapshot is visible via the previous versions tab. So one thing I noticed on the Windows server side, their FSRVP implementation doesn't expose the snapshots as previous versions. So I'm not sure what was behind that decision, but basically they already have the exposed share or the new share, which corresponds to the snapshot. So if you keep doing them via FSRVP, yes, you will. Actually, it's an operation itself, so it's an expose shadow copy operation, but the disshadow.exe client always exposes the shadow copy. So theoretically, yes, you could just issue the creates without exposure, and you'd still get the previous versions list. So we've created it on the Samba side. So using libsmeconf, we expose a new share. Yeah, so I'll run a delete now. I hope that's visible at the bottom there. So we can just do a delete. And then I think I need the shadow copy set. Again, a frustrating thing about the protocol is the requirement to remember the UID, so there's no enumeration of snapshot UIDs or no mechanism for the client to discover, which is a bit frustrating. But this is all handled on the client side with this shadow in that it maintains the state it needs to clean up after itself. So we've deleted that shadow copy, so we can check back. If you lose that data, then you end up with state on the server, which is unneeded. So on the deletion, we clean up the exposed share, and then we can also see our previous version also disappears for that file. So that's the end of the demo. I'll just run through quickly the implementation state. So the client supports, so there's the RPC client binary shipped with Samba includes a number of FSRVP clients operations. So you can use that to perform remote snapshots on Windows 2K12 servers. And the IDLs also upstream. There's still a bit of work to go on the server side, so a few things I'd like to clean up, like the Source3 RPC server. Basically, at some stage, we plumbed in the Source4 or Samba4 RPC server unmarshalling code and didn't pull out the old code, so there's like double unmarshalling of DCE RPC requests in the current, or this is in current master RPC server. There's also, we make a few unnecessary dbus requests, which we should save or cache some of that state so we can minimize round trips. The FSRVP protocol itself defines some timeouts for state, which is currently not implemented, so that needs to be done. Finally, read-write snapshots is also allowed by the protocol, but is not supported by Snapper. Onto the test suite. So this is just what I've been working on more recently. Basically, I wanted a mechanism of running automated tests over the protocol itself and the snapshot enumeration. So using the VFS shell snap module, I just have basically raw file copies in self-test, or sorry, directory copies. So basically that we fake a snapshot using that mechanism, and then we can cover the entire protocol suite as well as the iOctl. No, again, that's actually the, it may be there.
So are you adding like operations here for snapshots or
VFS? So there's a VFS shell snap module, and that allows basically any commands to be run at the creation or on creation. So all I have is within self-test or in our self-test config, we just have the shell snap calling a shell script which just does a copy of the current state. So it just does actually uses rsync just to copy the current state.
I was just wondering whether this could be used as a common platform for testing or modules with S modules.
Yes.
That are therefore like not SRMP, but the previous version support.
The shadow, yes. Yeah, so it tests, or I use the shadow copy 2 module for the iOctl tests.
Oh,
so yes, we don't cover them. Yeah, so yeah. So I think we still have some time remaining. Yes, another 15 minutes or so. So I'll just go on to another thing which is not quite as exciting. It's already upstream, so I'd just like to make sure users are aware of it. And this is the server-side copy support that's currently in master. So currently with traditional copies, we have the client issuing read requests to the server reading that off disk and sending it over the network to the client, and then the same data being written back down over the network, finally to disk. With server-side copy, so this is the Windows Server 2012 SIFS client issues by default when manipulated via Explorer, anyway, copy chunk requests. And these requests remove the network round trip of the file data for the copy. So basically, the copy chunk request comes through to the server, and the server just reads the data off disk and writes it back. And finally, with ButterFS enhanced server-side copy, where we have a special VFS module which maps the server-side copy request at the server to a ButterFS clone range iOctl. Basically, we remove the disk and network round trip of the file copy, so it basically becomes just a metadata update on the file system. And we have so it has the benefit of avoiding those round trips, and we also avoid writing duplicate data to the file system itself. So basically we have two inodes or files sharing the same blocks and extents on disk. So I can do a quick demo. Actually, I guess there's time, so I'll just do a quick demo of the server-side copy support. So this is just onto my laptop, which is obviously quite limited with regard to disk throughput. So we have a share here which doesn't support copy chunk, so it doesn't offer server-side copy requests. And in this share, I have a 1 gigabyte file, which if I ask Explorer to copy, as mentioned, we read the data off disk all the way up to the clients, and then write the same data back down over the network through the server to disk. And it's quite limited in throughput. So onto, this is a ButterFS enhanced server-side copy. So as mentioned, we have the Windows Server 2012 client issuing a server-side copy request to our Samba server, and then the VFS, ButterFS module takes that server-side copy request and issues a clone range for basically the range that was defined in the initial request. And as mentioned, that's just a metadata copy. So again, we have a 1 gigabyte metadata update. So we have a 1 gigabyte file, and it's sort of instantaneously copied. Yes, yeah, at the moment. So by default in master, we take the copy chunk request and we just do the copy locally. So the hooks themselves to the VFS are asynchronous, but we use synchronous read-write. Jeremy. Yes, yes. Yeah, that'd be good. No, just copy chunk. So the other method, or the newer method, was using device-based server-side copies. So basically, you need a storage array which supports the token-based server-side copies. Yeah, look, I'm very happy that Windows 2K12 is issuing these, or by default from Explorer. So it's a cool feature. Any other questions? Yes,
well,
Kai.
I take this being ButterFS. If you then change the copy, does copy and write thing to actually not modify the original file, right?
Yes. Well, ButterFS by default doesn't overwrite anything in place, so it always creates a new extent and writes the new data there. So. Yes.
Okay. So if you don't have support in your file system for the cloning, do you have a feel for how much improvement there is in copy if it's doing the copies locally in the SMBD?
Well, it's a network hop for...
No, without the network hop, locally, but not using... So copy it to user space and write it back down to the file system.
Well, basically, through the use of copy chunk, you're avoiding your network hop for the whatever data you want to copy. So that's your saving, basically. I haven't done any measurements on how that changes, basically, standard workloads. But. Yes, there's, I think it's 16 megabyte maximum. So I use basically through the copy chunk response, we can expose our limits for the request. And we've just used, I think, the same limits as 2K12, which is, I think, around 16 megabyte. So each copy chunk request as well can have multiple ranges within the request.
In regards to snapshot creation, mm-hmm. What does it take to add another file system which already supports snapshots? Is it just a VFS function? Or
if you have command line-based snapshots, then you can just integrate it directly using the shell snap VFS module.
Okay, and if I want to do it right?
So I'll show you. I can show you the... Actually, I'll show you it later. But basically, we just have three entries in the config file for what to call when we're checking whether a path supports snapshots, what to call to create a snapshot of the path, what to call to delete it. So it's quite simple.
OK, and there are also additional VFS functions I could use.
Yes.
Right. OK.
So there's three functions
yeah,
which correspond to those.
OK.
SMB.conf. So this is for the VFS shell snap module. It has three arguments for that specific module. Sorry? No. You can take a look. So my branch is published. I just pushed today. Yes. Yeah, so the question was regarding...
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. Any other questions?
Yeah. How long have you been in Germany now, David?
Just over 2.5 years.
And you've still got an Australian accent.
Any other?
Any other comments, questions?
One more from Jeremy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes, that's a nice ending. Thank you very much, David.